good God. We thank you this morning because you are the God that watches over us. You are the good shepherd. You're the one who came and laid down his life for the sheep. We thank you today that you caused us to be able to go out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But we serve the greater one. And we're so thankful this morning that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How can we say thanks for all that you've done for us? Things so undeserved. We owe our lives to you. Voices of a million angels cannot express our gratitude. All that we have and ever hope to be, we owe it all to thee. Hezekiah Walker says, let every praise go unto thee. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way. We thank you for health and for strength. We thank you that we're in our right mind. We thank you today that we're in the land of the living and we have another opportunity, another hope, another chance to do your will. Thank you for the saints of God that have gathered here together in corporate unity and corporate praise. We pray for each one that's here today, that you, God, would spread your blessings upon each one of us. We call those out that are looking for the voice of Cornerstone. We call them from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. And we say, come into this place and be blessed. Thank you for our music ministry. Thank you for Dr. Daryl Williams leading us in praise and worship. And we pray for Sister Shelly today, wherever she may be. You know all about us today. You see us, oh God. And there's a verse that says that if you see us, the Hebrew is that you will see about us. You're not just looking at us, but you're looking on us with concern and with a helping hand. Oh God, we enjoy being in your presence even this morning, even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Place your hands over your heart. Say, I am good ground. And the word I receive today shall bring forth much fruit in my heart and in my life. Extend your hands to the pastor. Say, Pastor, you're anointed, you're appointed, you have the green light. So preach the word of God. I receive it. I declare today that the word will not return void, but will prosper in the things that it is sent to do and in the things that God pleases God. We love the word of God. This morning, I want to preach from a subject in standing firm in the faith. Standing firm in the faith. God is calling us to stand firm in the faith. Many times after we've entered into the mundane parts of life and we feel like we need a change. We want to give up on our marriages sometimes. We want to give up on our jobs. We want to give up on the church. But this is a time that we need to stand firm. God sent me here today to encourage you at this time to stand, and when you've done all to stand, stand on anyhow. It's not time to sit. In the Bible, it is used metaphorically to stand firm, the truth in grace, Romans chapter 5, verse 2. In the gospel, Romans 11, verse 20. By faith, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24. It denotes the Greek that I will not be moved. Sometimes things will come at us that will shake us to our very core. Many times they're unexpected. We didn't anticipate it, but they come out of the blue. And so rather than waggling rather than moving around, rather than questioning God, is this really God? It's time to just stand right now where you are. You know, sometimes when things hit us, we want to run the other way. Sometimes we want to run forward. Sometimes we want to dodge it. But God is saying to us to stand. And when you don't ought to stand, stand on anyhow. See, the enemy's desire is many times to attack us, to stop us from doing the things that we've been doing well. He doesn't come upon us to pat us on the back. You know, he comes to steal, to kill, and to devour. That's why in the lesson I was looking at in John chapter 10, verse 1, talking about the good shepherd, it says the good shepherd protects the sheep, because the sheep sometimes are vulnerable. The sheep sometimes are not at a place that they should be. And so we have a shepherd that is looking out for us. Many people don't even understand what the assignment of a father is. Many of us have not experienced a real father, a real dad, but a real dad is a protector. He's a provider. He's looking out for his family and doing the best that he can. He may not be perfect, but he is moving in the direction that he should be moving in, because he's concerned about the sheep. Galatians 5 and 1, it speaks of standing in the freedom that God has given us. It's a lot of things that can bind us up. We can get so wrapped up in a day. We can get wrapped up in a situation, in a circumstance, and you got to do it this way. Have you ever heard somebody that says, you know, you have got to do it exactly the way I do it? Are you wrong? You got to worship God the way I worship him. Or you wrong? You got to go to the church that I go to. Or you wrong? You got to go to the great big old church. Or you wrong? Or you got to go to a little small storefront church where everybody knows your name. Or you wrong? But it's not about that. It's about standing in the place that God has placed you in, Brother Lorenzo, because the Bible said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not interested in getting wrapped up in somebody's religion. I'm not interested in getting wrapped up in somebody's tradition. I'm not interested in you passing judgment on me or me passing judgment on you. I'm interested in being free. That's why I can't hold grudges, because I'm not free. But who the Son sets free is free indeed. If you have an attitude against somebody, you're not free. You got to loose that thing. You got to push it aside, and you got to move on in the freedom that God has given unto you. Galatians 5 and 1 speaks of standing in this freedom. And it's so interesting. It says, who has bewitched you? You who have began in the faith, now are you made perfect in your actions, in your traditions? Paul had to go and actually confront Peter to him, his face, because Peter went down with the Gentiles, and when he was there with him alone, he was eating with the Gentiles. He was socializing with the Gentiles. But when the Judaizers came down from Judah, the religious folks, he separated himself and sat with them and excluded the Gentiles. And Paul said, what you've done is not good. You know, you can't be flipping back and forth. Come on now. I'm religious with the religious folks, but I'm down when ain't nobody else around. Hey, that rhymed. I'm a poet and don't know it. Hallelujah. But some people will be a whole different person somewhere else. But you've got to be the same person all the time. You've got to exuberate Christ. You've got to stand firm. Hallelujah, in God. I feel some help coming up in here right now. Thank you, Jesus. First of all, you've got to stand firm in prayer. A prayerless life leads to defeated life. A life of prayer leads to a life of victory. Sometimes people wonder, why did I get beat up by the devil so bad? Why did he knock me around? Because you haven't even prayed today. You just went out and said, Lord, help me today. And that's all you did. But if you will just take time to pray, that's why we spend time early in the morning. Sometimes I don't feel like getting up at 6 o'clock a.m., but we have a 6 o'clock prayer line. Pastor Michael and I are on that, and Brother Nixon, we're on the prayer line, and Pastor Steve Terry is on the prayer line from Fort Wayne, Indiana, at 6 o'clock. You don't even have to get dressed and put on your shirt and tie. You don't even have to brush your teeth. You can just get on the prayer line anonymously. You're not even on Zoom or FaceTime. Lord, help us. Some of us have got on FaceTime. Amen. Sometimes even when I'm away, and I wake up at 3 in the morning out in California, and I'm going to sleep in, but I wake up all the time. Get up and get on the prayer line. I might go back to bed, go back to sleep, but I do wake up for that prayer. So but it's not about that prayer. That's just one facet of prayer. You know, man should always pray and not faint. You ought to be praying in the car on the way to work. I got an hour and a half but let me listen to Steve Harvey all the way in. MSNBC satellite. You know, not taking time to maybe listen to Joel Osteen, maybe begin to meditate, maybe begin to pray and begin to seek God's face and begin to be in tune with him, because you don't know what the day is going to bring. And God is telling you, you need to be able to stand. You got to put on the whole armor of God so that when you've done all that you can do, stand. Tell somebody you got to stand. I don't care how difficult it gets in the marriage, you still got to stand. I don't care how difficult it gets on the job, you still got to stand. So many quitters, so many people give up. I'm throwing in the towel, but God is saying, you know, you can't get anything by quitting. You got to keep on and run on. Hallelujah. And I used to say, see what the end's going to be, but Deacon Wilkins corrected me. He said he already know what the end's going to be. Hallelujah. Well, we just have to run on to experience what the end's going to be. Come on, somebody. I hope y'all going down this journey with me. Hallelujah, because I'm feeling good in my sanctified soul. Stand in prayer. When we pray, we must go beyond the mental ascent to prayer. Some people just have words to pray, but they haven't really prayed out of their spirit. They sound good. They know all the right words to say. They have a mental ascent to prayer. But see, sometimes prayer can just be like Nehemiah prayed when the king asked him about something and said it was an ejaculatory prayer. It just went out of his spirit saying, oh, God, help me. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you just call out on God, God, help me. And sometimes people are looking for their prayer room. And sometimes it might be right out there, like the old man said, hold my mule, so that he could pray and rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes we have to find our own prayer closet. We have to find our own place, a privacy that we can pray. But other times we just need to pray within our spirit. But also, not only having a mental ascent to prayer, but pray the promises of God in prayer. What did God promise you? You know, one of the things he promised you, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And so when you're going through something, you need to begin to say, God, I thank you that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper today. And every tongue that rises against me, I'm going to condemn, because this is my heritage. This is my right as a child of God. God, I thank you today that I'm able to advance against a troop and to scale a wall. I thank you today that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I just want to thank you. You got to pray the promises of God. I thank you today that I'm healed in my body. I may not feel healed. The doctors might not say that I'm healed. But you, God, I'm thanking you today that healing is the children's bread. And Father God, it's not about how I feel, but it's about your promises. And I'm going to thank you right now in advance that I'm standing in prayer for my yielding. I'm praying to Lord for our church. It may not be sealed up, hallelujah, but it's the place that I'm supposed to be. I'm thanking you, God, that you're blessing this house. I thank you. You're blessing our pastor and blessing the first lady. I thank you that you're blessing the pastors and the ministers in the congregation. I'm thanking you today, the Lord God, that you're going ahead of me on this job, that you're blessing my boss, that person is becoming the best boss that I've ever had, that this is the greatest career opportunity that I've ever experienced. I'm thanking you in advance for all of the blessings and the goodness for me. You've been good. So good. To me. And I just want to say, thank you. I'm standing firm in prayer. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. And so many times we're worrying God. God, look at my problem. Look at my situation. But have you ever prayed the answer to your situation? We pray the problems all the time. But you know what? God knows your problems. What do you want him to do? You need to pray the answer. God, I'm so broke, Lord. When I go by the bank, I set the alarm off. Don't pray that prayer. Don't pray that prayer, I'm a born loser. Don't pray no prayers like that. But just begin to thank God. God, I thank you that I walk in a wealthy place. I thank you today that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And Lord God, I'm living above and not beneath. I thank you today that I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. And God, that you're the God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which I can even hope or imagine. I thank you today that I'm not living below the poverty line or at the poverty line. I'm living above the Lord God, because the Bible says that we walk in abundance. That we live a life of abundance. I'm thanking you in advance. Stand firm in prayer. Know how to pray. A bishop called me even this week to pray for him because he was going through. And I'm like, you know, most of the time, the bishop's not my bishop, but a bishop that I know many times, you know, I should be asking them for prayer. But, you know, when you're standing firm in prayer, people realize that you're a person that can get a prayer through. And God blessed that prayer so mightily. I don't know all the situations, and I wasn't trying to be judgmental or evaluating. All I knew to do was to pray. Hallelujah. So we have to let the word sink into our lives, believing the promises of God. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. Satan never wants us to remember what was preached. He wants us to forget about, what did they preach? Oh, I don't know, but they sure did sound good. He looked good, the choir sang good. But what did you get out of? I don't know, but I feel good. But that's why sometimes I pray that God is not my assignment just to preach a good message, but to preach a message that will do some good. And a message that will do some good will be a message that you'll remember on Wednesday and Thursday. And later on, you'll remember the message. There's messages that Bishop Bob preached that I'll never forget. And he preached one message on you give to give again. And I always remember that because people give to get. But it's the next level that he wants us to do is to give again. You're a conduit of God's blessings. Is anybody out there? Can I get a witness in the house? Hallelujah. Amen, walls. Amen. Satan never wants us to remember. You can read the word of God, the scriptures I've given you. Real prayer takes us beyond hoping and taking us into faith. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm hoping and a praying? I'm hoping and a praying. But we need to be in a place that we're believing and praying. I'm believing God, not because I can see the answer. Sometimes the way people use hope, they use hope like, I'm hoping, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I'm just hoping that it's going to happen. But that's not even the right definition of hope. The Bible said now abides three things: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But hope is right there. Hope is the vision of what you are looking to receive in the future. Hope is the target that you're trying to get to. Think about it from the standpoint of shooting an arrow. You shoot an arrow for a bullseye. Your hope is that the arrow will go and hit the bullseye. Hope is the vision of your future. This is what I'm looking forward to. You know, it's like getting on the train. I've used this analogy before, but if I get on a train at BWI, I get on a train, and the train is operated by faith. The energy comes through love. But the destination that I'm trying to get to may be Philly, it may be New York, but that's where my hope is. I'm hoping to get there. I'm looking to achieve that, and I'm getting on this train of faith energized by love that's going to take me to that place. Same thing with us. What is your assignment? Are you looking to finish college? Are you looking to achieve something for the Lord? That's your hope, but the only thing that will take you there is through faith. See, some people want to get on the train of faith, but they don't even know what destination they're going to. Come on, somebody. What are you doing? I'm just believing God. What do you believe in God for? What promises are you trying to receive? What destination are you trying to go to? I'm just believing God. Hallelujah. I'm just loving everybody. Help me, Holy Spirit. No, I'm... Ooh, there was one little... Oh, no, I'm not going to tell that story. I got to stay on track. Don't pray with wishful thinking, but really believing that God will grant you that which you're hoping for. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Now faith is being sure, being certain of what you hope for. What's your hopes and what's your dreams? When you begin to take that hope and dream and be certain and be sure of what you hope for, now you've entered into the faith zone. You're believing God that what you hope for is going to come to pass, even though you do not see it. Sometimes you must ask God for faith. In Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, faith cometh from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. We have to make up our minds that we're going to spend time and studying and meditating the word of God and praying. Because, you know, something about, have you ever been in a situation you start praying and you don't know exactly what you need to do, but when you enter into prayer and you begin to read the word in prayer, and all of a sudden it comes so clear to you? Because you entered into the faith zone through prayer. Stand firm in your place. Not only do you stand firm in prayer, but stand firm in your place. God ordered Jehoshaphat to a place. He told him to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God has a place of victory for each one of us. Sometimes people wander to this place and that place. You know, I'm going over here because it looks good. I'm going over here because it feels good. I'm going over this other place because my friend goes there. I'm going over here and this place because they have something that they have a school for my children. They have all the amenities that I need. But is that the place that God has assigned you to? What is your place? You know, if you're at Cornerstone and you're out of place, I would say go and find your place. If you don't feel comfortable here, then maybe there's another place for you. It's okay, as long as you're in the place that God placed you in. Not because you're going because you don't like what's being said, you don't like what's going on. That's not a reason to move. Hallelujah. You should stand firm in a place because God has placed you there. I didn't leave the places that I were until God moved me. Till God told me it was the right time to leave. Amen. I was just an associate minister for 14 years at Longreach Church of God, but I served there at another man's ministry because that was the place that God put me there until God says it's your time to step out and to move forward. So we have to know what place has God called us to. Hallelujah. We will not receive it by being in another place. If God has a message for you, your mail is being delivered here. You can have the best mail coming to you in the world, but if you're down the street in somebody else's place, living in another place, and the mailman can't find you. Now, I'm not telling you God can't find you, but he's sending your word through this place. Hallelujah. This is where you receive your word. And it's a place of victory. There are many other favorable places, but they're not the place that God has assigned you. An assigned place is a place where your blessings is dispatched. Many people are not blessed because they simply are out of place. Hallelujah. I don't care where that place might be, but if it's your place, that's where you should be. I love my friend, Pastor David White. Y'all know that already. I know you know that. He is a good friend to me. But God placed him in a place that he is comfortable in. And he's doing the work of ministry, what God has given him to do. He's not trying to come over here and be in this place. Hallelujah. He's in the place he's supposed to be. I can't go to somebody else's place and say, well, God called me to this place. Move over. No, God called me to Cornerstone. And as long as I have breath in my body and the Spirit of God in my soul, I'm going to stay in this place until he calls me to another place. And I hope that new place might be glory. I plan to be right here until God calls me to another place. Oh, I got to move this train. It's chugging along. I got to speed up a little bit. Hallelujah. So we have to stand in the place that God has given to us. Many people are not blessed because they're simply not in the place that God assigned them to. The Bible said, even if people say that Christ is in the desert, don't go there because you will see him when he comes. He's actually here right now. Number three, stand in a firm place of prayer. Number two, stand firm in your place. Number three, stand firm in God's promises. Prayer, place, promises. We must learn how to stand on the promises of God. The Bible says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they're all yes in Christ. So through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. Hold on to God's promises as you take his word before him. You must be specific in your requests. Sometimes you have to ask God specifically what you want him to do. God bless me. He blesses you every day. When you wake up, you're blessed. But what specifically do you want him to accomplish? Do you want your child to be saved? Then you need to pray for that person's salvation. Do you want someone to be healed? You need to pray specifically for that healing along with the promise. Prayer is hard work. It really is. That's where the heavy lifting is. It's not just glossing over and praying these general prayers, but it's about praying specifically. God, I pray for our government. I pray that every lie will be pulled off and every truth will be revealed. I pray, God, that righteousness shall prevail in this nation. I pray that you would bind the spirit, the wicked one, and bind it up, that it will suffocate, that it has to leave in Jesus' name. I told you last week when I was catching a flight coming back from L.A., and this young man came and sat next to me, and he said, you're going to be my best friend before we get off this flight, 5 hours. I said, oh, Lordy. I was tired and I wanted to get some rest. I said, Lord, I don't want to be rude to anybody. So I answered him and I began to pray. I said, Lord, you know, I want to say the right thing to this young man, but you know, I am worn out. I need you to help me and I need you to give me victory right here. And all of a sudden the brother said, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to find myself another seat. I said, bye. See ya. No, you can stay here. I'm fine. No, I got to go. But you got to pray specifically for what ails you. I don't like to hear somebody whining and crying about blah, 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 blah. Have you prayed about it? Brother James, I think about the story is told about these people kept having a committee meeting. And so they met week after week, week after week, and they kept meeting. And finally, they couldn't come to a consensus. And so a little deacon said, brethren, I think we should pray about this. And the chairman of the board said, has it come to that? Sometimes people make it the last resort. But it should be the first resort. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And if you acknowledge him first, then he will direct you in the way you should go. Prayer should be your priority. The promises of God should be what you're standing on. I'm standing, Dr. Kimberly, on the promises of God. Hold on to God's promises as you have taken his word before him, applying it to a particular request you're making. God asks people, what do you want me to do? You must be specific in your request. Over in John chapter 9, verse 35, and it says, Jesus heard that they had thrown out this man and found him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he? The man said, tell me that I may believe in him. Verse 37, and Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. And the man said, Lord, I believe, and worship him. See, we have to say to God, Lord, I believe. And Jesus said, for judgment I've come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who think they see will be blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. See, we have to believe God. And believing him is accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. He didn't even believe the word of God. He believed in God himself. There was not even a scripture written. But he stood on the promises of God. Hallelujah. Real quickly, faith is a vision that God is in charge. Faith recognizes the fact that God is in control of our lives. Whether I believe it or not, the fact is that God is in control of the world. If I don't believe it, I'm just robbing myself of the enjoyment of that fact. So many people, everything's out of control. I got to do this. I got to do that. You don't have to do nothing but believe God. Everybody's always trying to do something for God. I'm going to fix this for God. God don't need no fixers. Trump needs a fixer. Help me, Lord. But God don't need no fixer. His fixer turned on him. Faith acknowledges God's sovereign control, but it's not fatalistic. Fatalism submits to a blind, impersonal force over which man has no control. Faith is the providence of God, yields willingly to a loving heavenly Father who sees two sparrows fall to the ground, who knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. Faith is a far cry from fatalism. And in this difference, there is great comfort because we know that he cares about us. See, fatalism is, I don't know, is this going to happen? But faith is believing that whatever happens, God controls it and permits it to happen. Hallelujah. It's a far cry from fatalism. It's not blind faith. Faith is a vision that God is large and in charge. Take the limits off of God. Isn't that right, Lady Sheila? Lady Sheila is one of those people that takes the limits off of God. Sometimes I limit him. Sister Sheila, I have to take another look at this cruise. Did you see that ship that got stuck out there? Out there, and they had to tow it in. Ooh, Jesus. But I'm trusting in God. Take the limits off of God. Two words describe faith, sure and certain. Two qualities need a secure beginning and an ending point. That's why I love God. See, God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God is not confined by time or space, but God dwells in eternity. So he sees your beginning and he sees your end all together. He knows what decisions you're going to make. He knows what failures you're going to take, what problems you have, but God is still large and in charge. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes there's black notes and sharps and flats, and we think that because we hit a flat and because we hit a sharp, our life is over, but it ain't over until God says it's over. Why? Because it's adding to the melody of your life. You have to have some flats and some sharps to create a melody. Hallelujah. And so everything in your life is not going to always be all right and uptight. Sometimes there's going to be some things that you're saying, why did this happen to me? Charlie Brown experiences. Why is all these problems happening to me? When we believe God will fulfill his promises, and even though we don't see those promises materializing yet, we demonstrate true faith. John 20 verses 24 through 31, we must see things like God sees them. He has a large vision. His promises are large. And all the promises are yes and amen. Somebody says that if you can see your future and you can do it by yourself, then your future is not large enough. It's not a God's idea. But when God gives you something, you're like, whoo, I don't think I can handle that, Sister Linda. Sister Linda Bolton and Sister Other Linda, hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Craig. Good to see y'all. Amen. When your vision is so small that you can handle it, you don't need a God. Brian, you don't need God. When you can do it all by yourself, and that's the problem. See, we try to be gods by ourselves. I'm going to handle this. I can do it. But when we get to a place and say, God, you have to do it, it's you. It's on you. This thing is not going to work out unless you work it out. Unless you handle it. Then we're in the area of faith. All right, last point. Faith is a vision that God has prepared a better place for us. See, God didn't come for you to stay where you are. He said, I can do exceedingly abundantly above that which you can even hope or imagine. God's faith is a place that He's saying to you, I got a better place for you. Focus on the object rather than the obstacle. Some people think that it's not important that you believe as long as you believe in something. That's not true. You got to believe in God. You got to believe in his promises. That is, you have to go, you've got to see yourself in a better place. That's why I think about so many young people. They can't see. They lose hope. They don't see themselves in a better place. But when you see yourself in a better place, it's going to get better. I think about the story that Joe Osteen told about a young man that went to school and he gave his vision and said that I'm going to be on TV and I'm going to make people laugh. And the teacher said, called him up and said, yeah, that's not realistic. Is anybody, any of your family on TV? Anybody you know on TV? No. Well, how can you visualize yourself going to be on TV and make people laugh, Sister Marlene? Hallelujah. And so what happened was is that he came home and his father told him to, listen, you put that on your mirror and you put that every day, you look at it and you say, I'm going to be on TV. and make people laugh. You know what? Steve Harvey made it to TV and made people laugh. See, because he did not buy the script that was written for him. Some of us got to flip the script. People think that this is the kind of person that you're going to be. And you got to say, oh, no, this is not who I am. God defines me. This is who I am. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care how you try to put me in this little box and think this is what I should do and this is how I should act. It's inconsequential. What's important is the fact what God says about me, and his promises are yes and amen. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Many people become frustrated and defeated because their needs, their wants, their expectations, demands are not immediately met when they believe in Christ. They become impatient sometimes and want to quit. Are you discouraged today because your goals seem far away? I'm here to tell you to take courage. See yourself in a better place. I might be knocked down, Pastor David. But I'm not knocked out. I love that. I might be pressed into a corner and y'all got me on a squeeze. Hallelujah. But you know what? I'm not crushed. I might be a little perplexed and trying to figure this problem out, but I want you to know I ain't lost my mind. I'm still in this race. Hallelujah. I'm not going to quit. And though the weather, the storms of life are blowing at me, I'm still standing. Hallelujah. I don't care what wind blows. I don't care what tornado comes. I'm still standing. Stand on. Anyhow. In the power of his might. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It don't make no difference if you like it or you don't like it. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can say bad things all you want to, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, I shall condemn. But this is my right. This is my heritage. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of the Most High. I've been adopted into the family of God. I have rights and privileges. Hallelujah. I'm a VIP. I belong to the PGA. I'm somebody. Hallelujah. You may think I'm nobody, but I'm somebody. Hallelujah. Because I'm standing right here. Hallelujah. Until God works a miracle in my life, nobody can do me like Jesus. He satisfies. Joy he supplies. Life would be worthless without him. All that I need is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said he was a bridge over troubled water. Somebody else said that he's a bread that comes down from heaven. Another one said that he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But I know him as my Savior. I know him as my Redeemer. I know him as my friend. I know him as the Good Shepherd that protects me, that takes care of me, that makes a way out of no way for me. One writer says that when my back was against the wall and I thought it was all over, God was a God that was able to move mountains, to call walls to fall. He's a God through his power works miracles. Somebody else said he's a way maker, a heavy load taker. He's my judge. He's my counselor in the courtroom. He's my doctor by my side when I'm in the hospital. He's my counselor that tells me which way to go. He's everything that I stand in need of. I know him, but more importantly, he knows me. He has a way prepared for me. I heard Jeremiah said, I know the plans that he has for me, plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me a hope in a future. This is the God that I serve. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Somebody say, yes, he is. Say, yes, stand on your feet and say, yes. He is greater than all of our situations. He's greater than all of our problems. He's greater than your little attitude. Hallelujah. He is a great God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that which we can hope or think. Stand. 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 Stand on in the power of his might. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Don't give out. Run on and finish the race. We're going to pray. Anyone that wants to come and pray, please come up right now real quickly. A good God. We thank you this morning because you are the God that watches over us. You are the good shepherd. You're the one who came and laid down his life for the sheep. We thank you today that you caused us to be able to go out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But we serve the greater one. And we're so thankful this morning that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How can we say thanks for all that you've done for us? Things so undeserved. We owe our lives to you. Voices of a million angels cannot express our gratitude. All that we have and ever hope to be, we owe it all to thee. Hezekiah Walker says, let every praise go unto thee. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way. We thank you for health and for strength. We thank you that we're in our right mind. We thank you today that we're in the land of the living and we have another opportunity, another hope, another chance to do your will. Thank you for the saints of God that have gathered here together in corporate unity and corporate praise. We pray for each one that's here today, that you, God, would spread your blessings upon each one of us. We call those out that are looking for the voice of Cornerstone. We call them from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. And we say, come into this place and be blessed. Thank you for our music ministry. Thank you for Dr. Daryl Williams leading us in praise and worship. And we pray for Sister Shelley today, wherever she may be. You know all about us today. You see us, oh God. And there's a verse that says that if you see us, the Hebrew is that you will see about us. You're not just looking at us, but you're looking on us with concern and with a helping hand. Oh God, we enjoy being in your presence even this morning, even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Place your hands over your heart. Say, I am good ground. And the word I receive today shall bring forth much fruit in my heart and in my life. Extend your hands to the pastor. Say, Pastor, you're anointed, you're appointed, you have the green light. So preach the word of God. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I declare today that the word will not return void, but will prosper in the things that it is sent to do and in the things that God pleases God. We love the word of God. This morning, I want to preach from a subject in standing firm in the faith. Standing firm in the faith. God is calling us to stand firm in the faith. Many times after we've entered into the mundane parts of life, and we feel like we need a change. We want to give up on our marriages sometimes. We want to give up on our jobs. We want to give up on the church. But this is the time that we need to stand firm. God sent me here today to encourage you at this time to stand, and when you've done all to stand, stand on anyhow. It's not time to sit. In the Bible, it is used metaphorically to stand firm, the truth in grace, Romans chapter 5, verse 2. In the gospel, Romans 11, verse 20, by faith, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24. It denotes the Greek that I will not be moved. Sometimes things will come at us that will shake us to our very core. Many times they're unexpected. We didn't anticipate it, but they come out of the blue. And so rather than waggling, rather than moving around, rather than questioning God, is this really God? It's time to just stand right now where you are. You know, sometimes when things hit us, we want to run the other way. Sometimes we want to run forward. Sometimes we want to dodge it. But God is saying to us to stand. And when you've done all to stand, stand on anyhow. See, the enemy's desire is many times to attack us, to stop us from doing the things that we've been doing well. He doesn't come upon us to pat us on the back. You know, he comes to steal, to kill, and to devour. That's why in the lesson I was looking at in John chapter 10, verse 1, talking about the good shepherd, it says the good shepherd protects the sheep. Because the sheep sometimes are vulnerable. The sheep sometimes are not at a place that they should be. And so we have a shepherd that is looking out for us. Many people don't even understand what the assignment of a father is. Many of us have not experienced a real father, a real dad. But a real dad is a protector. He's a provider. He's looking out for his family and doing the best that he can. He may not be perfect, but he is moving in the direction that he should be moving in, because he's concerned about the sheep. Galatians 5 and 1, it speaks of standing in the freedom that God has given us. It's a lot of things that can bind us up. We can get so wrapped up in a day. We can get wrapped up in a situation, in a circumstance, and you got to do it this way. Have you ever heard somebody that says, you know, you have got to do it exactly the way I do it? Are you wrong? You got to worship God the way I worship him. Are you wrong? You got to go to the church that I go to. Are you wrong? You got to go to the great big old church. Or you're wrong. Or you got to go to a little small storefront church where everybody knows your name. Or you're wrong. But it's not about that. It's about standing in the place that God has placed you in, Brother Lorenzo. Because the Bible said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not interested in getting wrapped up in somebody's religion. I'm not interested in getting wrapped up in somebody's tradition. I'm not interested in you passing judgment on me or me passing judgment on you. I'm interested in being free. That's why I can't hold grudges, because I'm not free. But who the Son sets free is free indeed. If you have an attitude against somebody, you're not free. You got to loose that thing. You got to push it aside, and you got to move on in the freedom that God has given unto you. Galatians 5:1 speaks of standing in this freedom. And it's so interesting. It says, who has bewitched you? You who have began in the faith, now are you made perfect in your actions, in your traditions? Paul had to go and actually confront Peter to him, his face, because Peter went down with the Gentiles, and when he was there with him alone, he was eating with the Gentiles. He was socializing with the Gentiles. But when the Judaizers came down from Judah, the religious folks, he separated himself and sat with them and excluded the Gentiles. And Paul said, what you've done is not good. You know, you can't be flipping back and forth. Come on now. I'm religious with the religious folks, but I'm down when ain't nobody else around. Hey, that rhymed. I'm a poet and don't know it. Hallelujah. But some people will be a whole different person somewhere else. But you've got to be the same person all the time. You've got to exuberate Christ. You've got to stand firm. Hallelujah, in God. I feel some help coming up in here right now. Thank you, Jesus. First of all, you've got to stand firm in prayer. A prayerless life leads to defeated life. A life of prayer leads to a life of victory. Sometimes people wonder, why did I get beat up by the devil so bad? Why did he knock me around? Because you haven't even prayed today. You just went out and, Lord, help me today. And that's all you did. But if you will just take time to pray, that's why we spend time early in the morning. Sometimes I don't feel like getting up at 6 a.m., but we have a 6 o'clock prayer line. Pastor Michael and I are on that, and Brother Nixon, we're on the prayer line, and Pastor Steve Terry is on the prayer line from Fort Wayne, Indiana, at 6 o'clock. You don't even have to get dressed and put on your shirt and tie. You don't even have to brush your teeth. You can just get on the prayer line anonymously. You're not even on Zoom or FaceTime. Lord, help us. Some of us have got on FaceTime. Amen. Sometimes even when I'm away, and I wake up at 3 a.m. out in California, and I'm going to sleep in, but I wake up all the time, get up and get on the prayer line. I might go back to bed, go back to sleep, but I do wake up for that prayer. So it's not about that prayer. That's just one facet of prayer. You know, men should always pray and not faint. You ought to be praying in the car on the way to work. I got an hour and a half to, but let me listen to Steve Harvey all the way in. MSNBC satellite. You know, not taking time to maybe listen to Joel Osteen, maybe begin to meditate, maybe begin to pray and begin to seek God's face and begin to be in tune with him, because you don't know what the day is going to bring. And God is telling you, you need to be able to stand. You got to put on the whole armor of God so that when you've done all that you can do, stand. Tell somebody you got to stand. I don't care how difficult it gets in the marriage, you still got to stand. I don't care how difficult it gets on the job, you still got to stand. So many quitters, so many people give up. I'm throwing in the towel, but God is saying, you know, you can't get anything by quitting. You got to keep on and run on. Hallelujah. And I used to say, see what the end's going to be, but Deacon Wilkins corrected me. He said he already know what the end's going to be. Hallelujah. Well, we just have to run on to experience what the end's going to be. Come on, somebody. I hope y'all going down this journey with me. Hallelujah, because I'm feeling good in my sanctified soul. Stand in prayer. When we pray, we must go beyond the mental ascent to prayer. Some people just have words to pray, but they haven't really prayed out of their spirit. They sound good. They know all the right words to say. They have a mental assent to prayer. But see, sometimes prayer can just be like Nehemiah prayed when the king asked me about something and said it was an ejaculatory prayer, just went out of his spirit saying, "Oh God, help me." I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you just call out on God, "God, help me." And sometimes you have to, sometimes people are looking for their prayer room. And sometimes it might be right out there, like the old man said, "Hold my mule," so that he could pray and rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes we have to find our own prayer closet. We have to find our own place, a privacy that we can pray. But other times we just need to pray within our spirit. But also not only having a mental assent to prayer, but pray the promises of God in prayer. What did God promise you? You know, one of the things he promised you, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And so when you're going through something, you need to begin to say, "God, I thank you that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper today. And every tongue that rises against me, I'm going to condemn, because this is my heritage. This is my right as a child of God. God, I thank you today that I'm able to advance against a troop and to scale a wall. I thank you today that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I just want to thank you." You got to pray the promises of God. "I thank you today that I'm healed in my body. I may not feel healed. The doctors might not say that I'm healed, but you, God, I'm thanking you today that healing is the children's bread. And Father God, it's not about how I feel, but it's about your promises. And I'm going to thank you right now in advance that I'm standing in prayer for my healing. I'm praying the Lord for our church. It may not be sealed up, hallelujah, but it's the place that I'm supposed to be. I'm thanking you, God, that you're blessing this house. I thank you, you're blessing our pastor and blessing the first lady. I thank you that you're blessing the pastors and the ministers in the congregation. I'm thanking you today, the Lord God, that you're going ahead of me on this job, that you're blessing my boss, that person is becoming the best boss that I've ever had, that this is the greatest career opportunity that I've ever experienced. I'm thanking you in advance for all of the blessings and the goodness for me. You've been good. So good to me. And I just want to say, thank you. I'm standing firm in prayer. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. And so many times we're worrying God. "God, look at my problem. Look at my situation." But have you ever prayed the answer to your situation? We pray the problems all the time. But you know what? God knows your problems. What do you want him to do? You need to pray the answer. "God, I'm so broke, Lord. When I go by the bank, I set the alarm off." Don't pray that prayer. Don't pray that prayer, "I'm a born loser." Don't pray no prayers like that. But just begin to thank God. "God, I thank you that I walk in a wealthy place. I thank you today that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And Lord God, I'm living above and not beneath. I thank you today that I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. And God, that you're the God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which I can even hope or imagine. I thank you today that I'm not living below the poverty line or at the poverty line. I'm living above the Lord God, because the Bible says that we walk in abundance, that we live a life of abundance. I'm thanking you in advance. Stand firm in prayer. Know how to pray. A bishop called me even this week to pray for him because he was going through. And I'm like, you know, most of the time, the bishop's not my bishop, but a bishop that I know, many times, you know, I should be asking them for prayer. But, you know, when you're standing firm in prayer, people realize that you're a person that can get a prayer through. And God blessed that prayer so mightily. I don't know all the situations, and I wasn't trying to be judgmental or evaluating. All I knew to do was to pray. Hallelujah. So we have to let the word sink into our lives, believing the promises of God. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. Satan never wants us to remember what was preached. He wants us to forget about, what did they preach? Oh, I don't know, but they sure did sound good. He looked good. The choir sang good. But what did you get out of? I don't know, but I feel good. But that's why sometimes I pray that God, is not my assignment just to preach a good message, but to preach a message that will do some good. And a message that will do some good will be a message that you'll remember on Wednesday and Thursday. And later on, you'll remember the message. There's messages that Bishop Bob preached that I'll never forget. And he preached one message on you give to get, to give again. And I always remember that, because people give to get. But it's the next level that he wants us to do is to give again. You're a conduit of God's blessings. Is anybody out there? Can I get a witness in the house? Hallelujah. Amen, walls. Amen. Satan never wants us to remember. You can read the word of God, the scriptures I've given you. Real prayer takes us beyond hoping and taking us into faith. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm hoping and praying? I'm hoping and praying. But we need to be in a place that we're believing and praying. I'm believing God, not because I can see the answer. Sometimes the way people use hope, they use hope like, I'm hoping, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I'm just hoping that it's going to happen. But that's not even the right definition of hope. The Bible said now abides three things: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But hope is right there. Hope is the vision of what you are looking to receive in the future. Hope is the target that you're trying to get to. Think about it from the standpoint of shooting an arrow. You shoot an arrow for a bullseye. Your hope is that the arrow will go and hit the bullseye. Hope is the vision of your future. This is what I'm looking forward to. You know, it's like getting on the train. I've used this analogy before, but if I get on a train at BWI, I get on a train, and the train is operated by faith. The energy comes through love. But the destination that I'm trying to get to may be Philly, it may be New York, but that's where my hope is. I'm hoping to get there. I'm looking to achieve that, and I'm getting on this train of faith, energized by love, that's going to take me to that place. Same thing with us. What is your assignment? Are you looking to finish college? Are you looking to achieve something for the Lord? That's your hope, but the only thing that will take you there is through faith. See, some people want to get on the train of faith, but they don't even know what destination they're going to. Come on, somebody. What are you doing? I'm just believing God. What do you believe in God for? What promises are you trying to receive? What destination are you trying to go to? I'm just believing God. Hallelujah. I'm just loving everybody. Help me, Holy Spirit. No, I'm... Ooh, there was one little old... No, I'm not going to tell that story. I got to stay on track. Don't pray with wishful thinking, but really believing that God will grant you that which you're hoping for. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Now faith is being sure, being certain of what you hope for. What's your hopes and what's your dreams? When you begin to take that hope and dream and be certain and be sure of what you hope for, now you've entered into the faith zone. You're believing God that what you hope for is going to come to pass, even though you do not see it. Sometimes you must ask God for faith. In Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, faith cometh from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. We have to make up our minds that we're going to spend time and studying and meditating the Word of God and praying. Because, you know, something about, have you ever been in a situation you start praying and you don't know exactly what you need to do, but when you enter into prayer and you begin to read the Word in prayer, and all of a sudden it comes so clear to you because you entered into the faith zone through prayer. Stand firm in your place. Not only do you stand firm in prayer, but stand firm in your place. God ordered Jehoshaphat to a place. He told him to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God has a place of victory for each one of us. Sometimes people wander to this place and that place. You know, I'm going over here because it looks good. I'm going over here because it feels good. I'm going over this other place because my friend goes there. I'm going over here and this place because they have something that they have a school for my children. They have all the amenities that I need. But is that the place that God has assigned you to? What is your place? You know, if you're at Cornerstone and you're out of place, I would say go and find your place. If you don't feel comfortable here, then maybe there's another place for you. It's okay. As long as you're in the place that God placed you in. Not because you're going because you don't like what's being said. You don't like what's going on. That's not a reason to move. Hallelujah. You should stand firm in a place because God has placed you there. I didn't leave the places that I were until God moved me. Till God told me it was the right time to leave. Amen. I was just a associate minister for 14 years at Longreach Church of God, but I served there at another man's ministry because that was the place that God put me there until God says it's your time to step out and to move forward. So we have to know what place has God called us to. Hallelujah. We will not receive it by being in another place. If God has a message for you, your mail is being delivered here. You can have the best mail coming to you in the world, but if you're down the street in somebody else's place, living in another place, and the mailman can't find you, now I'm not telling you God can't find you, but he's sending your word through this place. Hallelujah. This is where you receive your word. And it's a place of victory. There are many other favorable places, but they're not the place that God has assigned you. An assigned place is a place where your blessings is dispatched. Many people are not blessed because they simply are out of place. Hallelujah. I don't care where that place might be, but if it's your place, that's where you should be. I love my friend, Pastor David White. Y'all know that already. I know you know that. He is a good friend to me. But God placed him in a place that he is comfortable in. And he's doing the work of ministry, what God has given him to do. He's not trying to come over here and be in this place. Hallelujah. He's in the place he's supposed to be. I can't go to somebody else's place and say, well, God called me to this place. Move over. No, God called me to Cornerstone. And as long as I have breath in my body and the Spirit of God in my soul, I'm going to stay in this place until he calls me to another place. And I hope that new place might be glory. I plan to be right here until God calls me to another place. Oh, I got to move this train. It's chugging along. I got to speed up a little bit. Hallelujah. So we have to stand in the place that God has given to us. Many people are not blessed because they're simply not in the place that God assigned them to. The Bible said, even if people say that Christ is in the desert, don't go there because you will see him when he comes. He's actually here right now. Number three, stand in a firm place of prayer. Number two, stand firm in your place. Number three, stand firm in God's promises. Prayer, place, promises. We must learn how to stand on the promises of God. The Bible says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they're all yes in Christ. So through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Hold on to God's promises as you take his word before him. You must be specific in your requests. Sometimes you have to ask God specifically what you want him to do. God bless me. He blesses you every day. When you wake up, you're blessed. But what specifically do you want him to accomplish? Do you want your child to be saved? Then you need to pray for that person's salvation. Do you want someone to be healed? You need to pray specifically for that healing along with the promise. Prayer is hard work. It really is. That's where the heavy lifting is. It's not just glossing over and praying these general prayers, but it's about praying specifically. God, I pray for our government. I pray that every lie will be pulled off and every truth will be revealed. I pray, God, that righteousness shall prevail in this nation. I pray that you would bind the spirit, the wicked one, and bind it up, that it will suffocate, that it has to leave in Jesus' name. I told you last week when I was catching a flight coming back from L.A., and this young man came and sat next to me, and he said, "You're going to be my best friend before we get off this flight, 5 hours. I said, "Oh, Lordy." I was tired, and I wanted to get some rest. I said, "Lord, I don't want to be rude to anybody." So I answered him, and I began to pray. I said, "Lord, you know I want to say the right thing to this young man, but you know I am worn out. I need you to help me, and I need you to give me victory right here." And all of a sudden, the brother said, "Hey, you know what? I think I'm going to find myself another seat." I said, "Bye. See ya." "No, you can stay here. I'm fine." "No, I got to go." But you got to pray specifically for what ails you. I don't like to hear somebody whining and crying about blah, 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 blah. Have you prayed about it? Brother James, I think about the story is told about these people kept having a committee meeting. And so they met week after week, week after week, and they kept meeting, and finally they couldn't come to a consensus. And so a little deacon said, "Brethren, I think we should pray about this." And the chairman of the board said, "Has it come to that?" So, sometimes people make it the last resort, but it should be the first resort. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And if you acknowledge him first, then he will direct you in the way you should go. Prayer should be your priority. The promises of God should be what you're standing on. I'm standing, Dr. Kimberly, on the promises of God. Hold on to God's promises as you have taken his word before him, applying it to a particular request you're making. God asks people, "What do you want me to do?" You must be specific in your request. Over in John chapter 9, verse 35, and it says, Jesus heard that they had thrown out this man and found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he?" the man said. "Tell me that I may believe in him." Verse 37, and Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe," and worship him. See, we have to say to God, "Lord, I believe." And Jesus said, "For judgment, I've come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who think they see will be blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." See, we have to believe God. And believing him is accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. He didn't even believe the word of God. He believed in God himself. There was not even a scripture written. But he stood on the promises of God. Hallelujah. Real quickly, faith is a vision that God is in charge. Faith recognizes the fact that God is in control of our lives. Whether I believe it or not, the fact is that God is in control of the world. If I don't believe it, I'm just robbing myself of the enjoyment of that fact. So many people, everything's out of control. I got to do this. I got to do that. You don't have to do nothing but believe God. Everybody's always trying to do something for God. I'm going to fix this for God. God don't need no fixers. Trump needs a fixer. Help me, Lord. But God don't need no fixer. His fixer turned on him. Faith acknowledges God's sovereign control, but it's not fatalistic. Fatalism submits to a blind, impersonal force over which man has no control. Faith is the providence of God, yields willingly to a loving heavenly Father who sees two sparrows fall to the ground, who knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. Faith is a far cry from fatalism. And in this difference, there is great comfort because we know that he cares about us. See, fatalism is, I don't know, is this going to happen? But faith is believing that whatever happens, God controls it and permits it to happen. Hallelujah. It's a far cry from fatalism. It's not blind faith. Faith is a vision that God is large and in charge. Take the limits off of God. Isn't that right, Lady Sheila? Lady Sheila is one of those people that takes the limits off of God. Sometimes I limit him. Sister Sheila, I have to take another look at this cruise. Did you see that ship that got stuck out there? Out there, and they had to tow it in. Ooh, Jesus. But I'm trusting in God. Take the limits off of God. Two words describe faith, sure and certain. Two qualities need a secure beginning and an ending point. That's why I love God. See, God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God is not confined by time or space, but God dwells in eternity. So he sees your beginning and he sees your end altogether. He knows what decisions you're going to make. He knows what failures you're going to take, what problems you have, but God is still large and in charge. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes there's black notes and sharps and flats, and we think that because we hit a flat and because we hit a sharp, our life is over, but it ain't over until God says it's over. Why? Because it's adding to the melody of your life. You have to have some flats and some sharps to create a melody. Hallelujah. And so everything in your life is not going to always be all right and uptight. Sometimes there's going to be some things that you say, why did this happen to me? Charlie Brown experiences. Why are all these problems happening to me? When we believe God will fulfill his promises, and even though we don't see those promises materializing yet, we demonstrate true faith. John 20, verses 24 through 31, we must see things like God sees them. He has a large vision. His promises are large. And all the promises are yes and amen. Somebody says that if you can see your future and you can do it by yourself, then your future is not large enough. It's not a God's idea. But when God gives you something, you're like, whew, I don't think I can handle that, Sister Linda. Sister Linda Bolton and Sister Other Linda, hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Craig. Good to see y'all. Amen. When your vision is so small that you can handle it, you don't need a God. Brian, you don't need God. When you can do it all by yourself, and that's the problem. See, we try to be gods by ourselves. I'm going to handle this. I can do it. But when we get to a place and say, God, you have to do it, it's you, it's on you. This thing is not going to work out unless you work it out, unless you handle it. Then we're in the area of faith. All right, last point. Faith is the vision that God has prepared a better place for us. See, God didn't come for you to stay where you are. He said, I can do exceedingly abundantly above that which you can even hope or imagine. God's faith is a place that he's saying to you, I've got a better place for you. Focus on the object rather than the obstacle. Some people think that it's not important that you believe as long as you believe in something. That's not true. You got to believe in God. You got to believe in his promises. That is, you have to go, you've got to see yourself in a better place. That's why I think about so many young people, they can't see, they lose hope, they don't see themselves in a better place. But when you see yourself in a better place, it's going to get better. I think about the story that Joel Osteen told about a young man that went to school and he gave his vision and said that I'm going to be on TV and I'm going to make people laugh. And the teacher said, called him up and said, yeah, that's not realistic. Is anybody, any of your family on TV? Anybody you know on TV? No. Well, how can you visualize yourself going to be on TV and make people laugh, Sister Marlene? Hallelujah. And so what happened was is that he came home and his father told him to listen. You put that on your mirror and you put that every day. You look at it and you say, I'm going to be on TV and make people laugh. You know what? Steve Harvey made it to TV and made people laugh. See, because he did not buy the script that was written for him. Some of us got to flip the script. People think that this is the kind of person that you're going to be. And you got to say, oh no, this is not who I am. God defines me. This is who I am. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care how you try to put me in this little box and think this is what I should do and this is how I should act. It's inconsequential. What's important is the fact what God says about me, and his promises are yes and amen. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Many people become frustrated and defeated because their needs, their wants, their expectations, demands are not immediately met when they believe in Christ. They become impatient sometimes and want to quit. Are you discouraged today because your goals seem far away? I'm here to tell you to take courage. See yourself in a better place. I might be knocked down, Pastor David. but I'm not knocked out. I love that. I might be pressed into a corner and y'all got me on a squeeze. Hallelujah. But you know what? I'm not crushed. I might be a little perplexed and trying to figure this problem out, but I want you to know I ain't lost my mind. I'm still in this race. Hallelujah. I'm not going to quit. And though the weather, the storms of life are blowing at me, I'm still standing. Hallelujah. I don't care what wind blows. I don't care what tornado comes. I'm still standing. Stand on. Anyhow. In the power of his might.
That's right, that's right.
Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. It don't make no difference if you like it or you don't like it. Hallelujah.
Right.
If God be for us,
who
can be against us?
Hallelujah.
You can say bad things all you want to, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, I shall condemn. But this is my right. This is my heritage. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of the Most High. I've been adopted into the family of God. I have rights and privileges. Hallelujah. I'm a VIP. I belong to the PGA. I'm somebody.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may think I'm nobody, but I'm somebody.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because I'm standing right here. Hallelujah. Until God works a miracle in my life. Nobody.
Yeah.
can do me like Jesus. He satisfies. Joy he supplies. Life would be worthless without him. All that I need is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said he was a bridge over troubled water. Somebody else said that he's a bread that comes down from heaven. Another one said that he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But I know him as my Savior. I know him as my Redeemer. I know him as my friend. I know him as the Good Shepherd that protects me, that takes care of me, that makes a way out of no way for me. What writer says that when my back was against the wall and I thought it was all over, God was a God that was able to move mountains, to call walls to fall. He's the God through his power works miracles. Somebody else said he's a way maker, a heavy load taker. He's my judge. He's my counselor in the courtroom. He's my doctor by my side when I'm in the hospital. He's my counselor that tells me which way to go. He's everything that I stand in need of. I know him, but more importantly, he knows me. He has a way prepared for me. I heard Jeremiah said, I know the plans that he has for me. Plans to prosper me and not to harm me. Plans to give me a hope in a future. This is the God that I serve. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Somebody say, yes, he is. Say, yes, stand on your feet and say, yes. He is greater than all of our situations. He's greater than all of our problems. He's greater than your little attitude. Hallelujah. He is a great God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that which we can hope or think. Stand. 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 Stand on in the power of his might. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Don't give out. Run on. And